Sublette County is home to two of Wyoming's major oil and gas fields, and emissions from the energy production have caused smog to form, a type of smog called ozone. Ground-level ozone can cause and exacerbate respiratory problems. It's also a problem for legal reasons. Ozone levels in Sublette County have exceeded federal limits several times in the past few years. Now the Environmental Protection Agency is stepping in. It's designating Sublette County a non-attainment area, which means Wyoming is obligated to fix the problem. But as Wyoming Public Radio's Willow Belden reports, there's no ready solution.
Here's a quick science lesson. Ground-level ozone forms when nitrogen oxides, or NOx, react with volatile organic compounds, also known as VOCs, under certain weather conditions. In Sublette County, the bulk of the NOx and VOC emissions come from the energy industry. Drill rigs, equipment that processes the oil and gas once it's extracted, and vehicle traffic all contribute. So several years ago, when the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality found out about high ozone levels, they imposed new rules on the energy industry. Now, drilling equipment and all new production facilities in the area have to include special technology to cut down on emissions. Angela Zivkovich, an environmental engineer with Shell, shows me around a well pad near Pinedale. This site has four wells and a maze of other equipment, pipelines to transport gas and wastewater, heaters to keep the pipes from freezing, a dehydrator to separate the gas from the water that comes up with it, and storage tanks. Zivkovich points to a boxy piece of equipment.
All of this equipment is part of the dehydration unit, and its purpose is to remove the water from the gas.
The unit would normally emit large quantities of VOCs, but this dehydrator captures its emissions and sends them to a combustor, a tall tower that looks like a smokestack.
The heat destroys the VOC up to 98% efficiency, so 98% of those VOCs are now destroyed.
In addition to the combustor, the well site has been outfitted with other state-of-the-art green features meant to limit emissions. In this case, the green technology was required because the well pad is new. But John Cora, the head of the DEQ, says many facilities in the area were installed prior to the new rules, so they're exempt.
They're operating perfectly legally, but they emit a lot more than a well that we would permit today.
DEQ is pushing companies to voluntarily retrofit these grandfathered sites. They're also now requiring that if a company introduces a new source of emissions, say by drilling more wells, they now have to reduce emissions somewhere else. And they're pushing industry to cut down on drilling and vehicle traffic on days where ozone levels are expected to spike. John Cora says those measures are helping.
We've been able to reduce the NOx and VOx emissions, if you will, about 20 to 23%.
But we don't know if those reductions are enough to get ozone levels back down to federal standards. This past winter, ozone levels didn't spike nearly as high as in previous years, but that could also be a result of the weather or any number of other factors. So DEQ has a difficult task. They have to cut ozone by a set amount to comply with EPA regulations, and the only way to achieve that is to reduce emissions, but they don't know the magic number.
We can't tell you how much lower we have to cut these emissions.
It's kind of like knowing you need to lose 30 pounds in a certain time frame, but not knowing how much dieting and exercise it will take to lose those 30 pounds. The problem is, scientists still don't really understand the chemistry of wintertime ozone formation. They don't know the ratio of NOx to VOCs, they don't know exactly what type of VOCs are most problematic, and they haven't figured out exactly what weather conditions cause the pollutants to react. So DEQ is having a tough time coming up with a plan. Two atmospheric scientists at the University of Wyoming, Rob Field and Shay Murphy, are trying to help. They've been measuring air pollutants in Sublette County since the ozone problem was identified, and they're trying to answer some of the tough questions. Here's Rob Field.
The first 2 years of the project, our mission was to really establish, is it a locally generated ozone problem or is it being transported from outside? So we were able to show that it was indeed a local problem under particular meteorological conditions.
Next, they tried to identify the areas within Sublette County that had the highest concentrations of NOx and VOCs.
We've identified, for the VOCs, two main areas of higher concentrations, two let's call them hot spots. And so what we want to do in the future is be able to establish why are those areas, why are the concentrations higher there? And we've now got new tools that will enable us to categorically answer that question.
The tools are mobile devices that you can put in a vehicle. As you drive along, they measure the air quality. Fields colleague Shay Murphy says that will tell them which pieces of energy production equipment are causing the worst emissions.
So we can literally drive by a drill rig or drive by a pipeline or drive by a road with a lot of vehicles, and within seconds we can know if that's an important source or not.
The new devices will also differentiate between different types of VOCs that are emitted at each source, and we'll be able to see how fast they're reacting. And all of that will help find the answers DEQ needs. The research will likely take at least 2 more years to complete, though, and Wyoming is on a deadline. The state has 3 years to come back into attainment, or else stricter federal requirements will kick in. In the meantime, the DEQ has assembled a task force of citizens and industry reps to come up with recommendations about what to do. The task force had their third meeting last week in Pinedale. Participants had a wide range of ideas about what to do, everything from cutting off drilling altogether to running production equipment on solar power rather than fossil fuels. But so far, the group hasn't come up with any concrete recommendations. And some participants, like Pinedale Councilman David Hull, are frustrated.
One of my concerns about the task force is that it's a citizens' task force addressing a technical issue. And so that tells me that we're supposed to be PhD qualified here.
Hull says you need experts, not citizens, to make recommendations. Still, many task force participants are happy to be included in the discussion, and most are optimistic that now that the federal government is forcing Wyoming to fix the problem, the state will actually find a solution. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Willow Belden.